137 words. Now, aren't you just fascinated by those numbers? I got that information somewhere. And if you look at the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is like a miniature Bible because there are 66 chapters in Isaiah. And when you have the first 39 chapters, it's almost like the Old Testament. And then when you start in chapter 40, you get new things. So Isaiah has been viewed as sort of a miniature Bible. But here's what we're really going to talk about today. And that is the shortest verses in the Bible. And we're going to look just at the New Testament. And the first one that I want to talk about is a very famous one. Everybody knows, because you ask, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? And they say, Jesus wept. Where is that? What's the reference? Do you know? That's the shortest verse. Where is it? Close. Oh, very good. Where is that, though?
I have no idea.
It is in John. All right. I've stumped everybody. I'm glad for that. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. And when you read the next verse, it says, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Now, this chapter, I like the book of John, first of all, and especially this chapter. This chapter is probably one of the most emotional chapters in the Bible. Because there's a lot of things, I think, that are going on that we can't see. It's not written for us, but just kind of put yourself there. We're going to go back to the first verse in this chapter because I think it's really good. And to me, it's also important that, yeah, we can know that Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, but what do we know about it? First of all, now you know where it is, John 11, 35, and we're going to look at the context of it, okay? Chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, verse 2, that's something that John just kind of is helping us understand who these people are. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now verse 6, Jesus, what are you doing? We were just told that he loved these three, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them. But when he got word that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days. And the thing was, if someone had a sickness and they're sending for him, what are they expecting Jesus to do? To come and heal them. He stays 2 days. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Another thing that happens in John often is they misunderstand things that he says. He says one thing with one meaning, and they take it for something else. And that's what they've done here when he says, well, he's asleep. They think, oh, you know, it's sleep. That's what he needs then. He'll be fine. But in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, think, if you had been there, what would you be thinking? Well, they sent you word. You knew he was sick. You love him. Why didn't you go? And he says, first he told them, well, he's asleep. And then he just tells them plainly, well, he's dead. It's like matter-of-factly, he's dead. And then he said, verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his, let us also go, that we may die. I'm not exactly sure what Thomas meant, other than they're going back to the place where they were trying to kill Jesus. And maybe he's just resigning to the fact that, well, let's go and they can kill us too. But Thomas, you have to know something about Thomas. Thomas would never say anything that he didn't really believe. Because it's Thomas later in John chapter 14, you know, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus had told him, he said, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you know, and the way I go, you know. And Thomas said, how can we know that? What are you talking about, Lord? We can't know that. And that's when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was not there. And later they told Thomas that we've seen the Lord. He appeared to us. And Thomas said, until I see the print of the nails in his hands and put my finger in it and thrust my hand into his side, he said, I will not believe. Next thing you know, there's Jesus appearing to Thomas saying, Thomas, go ahead. Touch me. Put your hand in. And that's when Thomas says, my Lord and my God. But Thomas would never say something that he didn't really believe. So here he is. He says, well, let's go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So he's been dead 4 days. He got word when he was sick, and he decided, well, I'm just going to hang around here. We're not going to go. He stayed for 2 days. Then, verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can't you hear the desperation and the emotion in her voice now? It's like, we sent you word. We wanted you to come and heal him. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And then she said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now see, here's another case of not understanding fully what Jesus Christ has said. Oh, I know he's going to rise again, you know, along with all of us. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, you see, he tells her the truth, who he is, and says to her, do you believe this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Remember we talked about on Wednesday night how for the Jewish nation, for their Messiah, they are looking for the Son of God. And she acknowledges that. She says, yeah, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. You're the one we've been waiting on. You're the one we've been watching for. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then that were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Now I think we talked about before that it was a Jewish custom that when someone died, they had professional mourners. These people that would come and weep and wail and just, you know, create all kinds of commotion like that, they thought they were honoring the dead. So you have all these people there with Mary, and they go with her. She left, so they follow her. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, where did we hear that before? Exact same words that Martha had said. So they obviously rehearsed this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That's the context now of this short verse. Now you have to feel the emotion. All of these people, these mourners and the weeping and the wailing, and he's had two sisters come to him, say the exact same words. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. He would still be alive. And it says that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then when it said Jesus wept, do you think that he was weeping because Lazarus was dead? I don't think so. Because he knew what was going to happen. But I think he was just surrounded by all these people, not fully understanding who he was. But he was about to give a demonstration to them of who he was. And you see the Jews, verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They didn't understand. They thought, oh, he's weeping along with everybody else because Lazarus has died. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. See, again, they're expressing the full unbelief when they said, you know, he could have prevented this. Couldn't he stop this guy from dying? And that's why you see Jesus groaning, because he knows what's going to happen. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, I like that word, stinketh. Now, again, yeah, it's a good King James word, stinketh. Now, Martha is saying this. But what had he said to Martha? Well, your brother's going to rise again. And hey, Martha, by the way, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, back verse 26, shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yeah, I know you're the Christ, the Son of God. What's her problem now? Because he's saying, remove the stone. And she said, he's been dead for 4 days. What happened to that belief? Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You see the context of that verse? Someone says, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? And you say, Jesus wept. Well, now you know where it is, John 11:35. You know the context of it. Because most people are going to look at it just like the Jews and think, oh, he really loved him, so that's why he was so sad. He was crying. No, wait a minute. He knew. There was going to be this powerful demonstration of who he was as their Messiah. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that was going to happen, but they were not believing it. And I think that is what brought him to that point of weeping. Jesus wept. Okay. Move on to some other short verses. We're going to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Wow, what a verse. Short, but powerful. Rejoice evermore. Even when I feel like there's nothing to rejoice about. I got to tell you, this week has been a heck of a week. Don't give me this stuff of rejoice evermore. I ain't going to do it. But that's what the scripture says. And this is written by a guy who became martyred for his faith, who was imprisoned. Rejoice evermore. What What can I rejoice about? You remember the time, another time that Jesus Christ sent the disciples out and they were casting out demons and they came back and they're rejoicing because of the power that they had over these evil forces. And Jesus Christ told them, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your names are written in the book in heaven. So I can rejoice evermore at that, knowing that this life is not all there is. There's something else waiting on me. In that I can rejoice. Look at the next one, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Well, there's another one. Pray without ceasing. If we understand prayer, that, you know, God, he dwells inside me, so he always knows what I'm thinking, and I can always carry on this conversation. But often people get this idea that, okay, if you're going to pray, that means you got to fold your hands, and close your eyes, and that's going to be prayer. Well, wait a minute. Pray without ceasing? What if you're in your car? If you fold your hands and close your eyes, you're going to be in trouble. You're driving while you're praying. But to pray without ceasing, I think, is it's more than that. It's something that goes on all the time. If we understand, he's always with me. He doesn't set aside the time and say, okay, now I think it's time for you to pray. You can always be having a conversation with him, always. Whether it's out loud or not, it's a conversation with him, and it's to be without ceasing. Look at verse 19. Now, I skipped 18 because it's a little longer, but the idea is there. But 19, quench not the Spirit. Difficult verse to understand, but I think of the word, if I'm going to quench my thirst, what am I going to do? I'm going to get a drink of water and quench the thirst so that the thirst goes away. Here he says, quench not the Spirit. Don't try to make the Spirit go away. Along with that, verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Well, at this time, before the scripture is complete, this is the way they had the word of God, through the gift of prophecy. He says, don't despise that. And then skip down to verse 25. This is another short one. Brethren, pray for us. I like that. Brethren, pray for us. Short verse. Here is Paul the Apostle asking these Thessalonians, please pray for us. Here's another one in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. First Timothy 4:11. These things command and teach. Another nice little verse. All of the things that he's been talking about, he's saying to Timothy, these things command and teach. So anytime you see a verse like that, you can't let that stand alone. You've got to find out, okay, what are these things? What's he talking about? I've got to look at all of it and understand what those things are. So short verses can lead you to some big truth. Now there's one more that I would like to talk about, and I want to see if maybe you know what it is. However, I guarantee you probably don't know. Well, Jesus Christ is the one who said this also. And they're three words. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Three words. What? No, that's very good, though. He did say that. Let's go to it. In the book of Luke, chapter 17. That's pretty good that it is finished. I like that. Well, you know, it's possible. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. And you know, when I've read this passage, this chapter, I think, why did he say that? Remember Lot's wife. Well, let's get some of the context again. Because when you see these short verses, even the it is finished, what in the world does that mean? You got to see those things in the context in which they are found. Well, this one, let's go back to Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now he's talking about judgment that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. And what's going to be happening at the time that it takes place. And first of all, he says it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, then as it was in the days of Lot. So if it was in the days of Noah, you know, the flood came, says, and destroyed them all. But in the days of Lot, that's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know when they left, in fact, before that destruction, Abraham, it said, stood before the Lord, and he was negotiating with God on destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, now, God, what if there are 50 righteous people in that city? Would you destroy it? No. Well, now, you know, 45, that's only five less. Would you destroy it? No. Got all the way down to 10, and God agreed, I'll not destroy it if I find 10. Couldn't find 10. There was only the one, which was Lot, and he moved him out. But when they left the city and judgment was coming upon it, Lot's wife turned around and looked back at the destruction that was happening and turned into a pillar of salt. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. Was she under some of the volcanic ash or whatever it was that was falling? I don't know. But for Jesus Christ to say, remember Lot's wife, that has to have some meaning there. I think he's telling them, and you see the context of it, go forward. Don't look back. Don't look back with any regrets or anything at all. Just go forward. Don't look from where you came from. So I've thought of that. Remember Lot's wife. And then the word remember. And, you know, it's a terrible thing, but when I hear the word remember, I always think of Star Trek. Yes. See, he knows what I'm talking about. The Wrath of Khan, at the end of it, right before Spock dies, he does the little Vulcan mind meld thing on Dr. McCoy, and he says the one word, remember. But you know, remember is a powerful word. Let's look at some of it in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments. And God tells them, remember the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. Deuteronomy 25, 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. Now, these are times God is saying this word, remember. And because of what Amalek did in ambushing them, Amalek sort of in typology represents the flesh. God was going to have war with Amalek. They were going to be a problem. And here he says, remember. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, Isaiah 46, verse 9. It's also in verse 8, but verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Remember. And again, we know the Old Testament books and these prophets written to the nation of Israel, but some of the principles are the same. Because sometimes I have to go back and remember that he's God. I have to remember that he dwells inside me. That word remember, powerful word. In John 15, 20. John 15, 20, something Jesus Christ said. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Remember the word that I said unto you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Remember, this is what you were. This is your past. Remember that. But he goes on and says, but now, look what God has done. You weren't part of all that. All those things that pertain to Israel. You weren't part of that. But God has changed all that and brought you into the picture. Remember that. Don't forget that. Remember it. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 3, and it's in Revelation a couple of times. Revelation 3, 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Again, these letters written to the seven churches, all Jewish talk, all of it. But this was an important word to them. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received. Remember. Remember these words. Okay, so those are the shortest verses. Some of them still short. I still like that it is finished. It's not a verse by itself? Sorry. Doesn't qualify. So where is that verse Jesus wept? 1:11:35. John 11:35. Okay. All right. And where is the remember Lot's wife? Luke 17:32. Okay. Thank you very much.